listeners, and welcome to another new episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I'm your host, Chuck Peters, and with me again today is my good friend, Bill Emiot. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Chuck.
Bill is our lead specialist in the kids ministry area, and he's out and about training church leaders and facilitators all over the country in kids ministry and best practices and all kinds of great things that he gets to train and teach about.
I tell everybody I'm a professional Sunday school teacher.
Ah,
yeah, I teach third grade at my church, and then I go out and tell everybody what I did.
So they can go and teach third grade at their church, yeah. More like you, which is really cool. It's what a cool thing you get to do, and to interact with churches face-to-face like you do. And so you're on the front lines. You are not only a teacher and a leader in your own church, but you lead leaders. Mm-hmm. And so by the connection with them, you know the things that they're feeling, the needs that they have, the concerns that they have. And so we're excited to have you here again today to
thank you. Talk I think to that, our listeners. That's kind of my passion. I want to equip leaders to do what God's called them to do better. So that's I'm living my dream. It's a great place to be.
Well, we are going to be talking today about one of those hard questions that we all need to wrestle with and figure out where we stand, and that is, when can a child believe? We deal with kids from birth all the way through sixth grade with a typical kids ministry, and there are certain times where we teach things in age-appropriate levels,
right?
And we need to be discerning about what we teach at what point in time.
So exactly.
We'll talk about that today. But first, we have a segment we like to do here on the podcast that we've introduced called Little You.
Little Me.
We want to know a little bit about Little Bill.
Oh, my. And
so I've got three questions for you that I'm about to make up, literally, as we go, to find out more about you when you were a kid, Bill.
Okay.
So when you were young and you went to school,
yes,
took a lunch, did you have a lunchbox? What was your lunchbox?
You know what? I never took my own lunch.
Really?
We always bought lunch.
You were a hot lunch kid?
I was a hot lunch
wow.
kid, and I loved it. I loved it. We had the best lunches. It was before anybody really cared about nutrition. And so we ate good. And I was talking to one of my nephews the other day. When I graduated from high school, lunch was 55 cents.
Wow.
Now I think it's like $2.55 or something, and they don't even want to eat it. Turnip greens and collards or something. I don't know, but it was great. So I didn't have a lunch box. I took my own lunch, and a nickel more got you an extra milk.
Did you get the chocolate?
We didn't have chocolate.
No chocolate milk.
No
chocolate milk was the best thing about school lunch.
Yeah.
And pizza on Fridays, best thing. All right, good. Okay.
Okay.
Next question. See, that was easy.
Yeah, it was easy.
Next question. Let's go to the bicycle.
Mm.
Do you have a bicycle from childhood that you remember? That
I still
was
have it.
Best bike. You do?
I still have it. It is a Schwinn bike, a Stingray, and it's gold and has a banana seat. It's awesome, way cool, and I've kept it all these years. It's in a closet at my mom's house, and one day I'm going to make $1 million selling it again.
Wow.
Probably not, but anyhow.
That is really cool.
A gold Schwinn Stingray.
Here we go. Ready? Halloween costume. Did you ever dress up for a costume party, fall festival party?
Yeah, well, we called it Halloween back then. And we went actually trick-or-treating from door to door. I lived in a neighborhood. But I don't really remember buying costumes. So we had to make them.
Oh, yeah,
them
all
up.
Homemade.
They were
yeah.
all made, and I'll probably never be listened to again after this. But
uh-oh.
We, you know, it was all the.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, this is the last episode of the kids.
No. It was drawing the cut on your forehead and carrying around a hatchet.
Oh, you were a scary guy.
Exactly. We couldn't be a good guy. I didn't know how to make one of those. So, you know, put a. The anyhow. Yeah, it was a big deal. And then I was thinking about it. Because we used to decorate our house as to make it look like a spook house.
Ooh.
And we would jump out and scare the kids, and it's all the horrible things.
That's terrible.
I don't know
terrible,
how I
terrible.
Made it to this point. God has
forgiven
me. I never
did anything like that, listeners. I remember the homemade costume. Andy, when you were a kid, did your parents make your costume or did you get store-bought?
No, it was definitely store-bought.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yes, absolutely.
Did you have a favorite
kids.
Store-bought?
My favorite store-bought one, I think, like, it was the vampire. That was the thing. It was
so maybe the black should, cape with the,
oh, yeah,
the plastic absolutely. Teeth?
Plastic teeth, man. And you kept those throughout the rest of the year, for sure. The cape, who knows where that's at, but plastic teeth.
Sorry, Andy Dukes with the store-bought costume. I remember the homemade costume. And I remember my dad dressing me as a hunter, and he like burned a cork and rubbed it on my face to be like a beard all kinds of weird things. And didn't get to carry a real gun, but you know, back then we probably could have a rifle or something. But I remember doing that and then being like a little old man and walking with a cane and doing the whole thing. Yeah.
Those are all the good ones.
Good memories. Good memories. Well, thank you for playing Little You.
Little me.
Little You. All right. So let's talk about this. When can a child believe? At what age or at what time is it appropriate to talk to a child about a decision? Seems like a question that parents have,
right?
And that may come to us to ask advice.
Interestingly enough, Chuck, the term age of accountability is not found in Scripture anywhere. Hmm. You can't find where it is that a child can believe. You know, for whatever reason, I think growing up, I thought you had to be 12 years old. I don't know what influenced me to think that, but maybe Jesus went to the temple at 12 and started teaching the temple leaders, and maybe that had something to do with it, but that's not found in Scripture.
In the Jewish community, there's the bar mitzvah that takes place where you become
a man at age 13. So maybe that was part of it. But there's really no age of accountability in terms of you can believe when you're 7. It's just not there. I think you have to understand the total child. You have to understand the mental abilities of children, the physical abilities at some level, but the emotional and spiritual abilities as well. And when you understand that, then you begin to realize that the very idea of the gospel and sin and the things that I feel like are pretty important are pretty basic. A kid needs to understand the basic concepts of sin, that what sin is and that they have sinned, that sin's against God, and it's that sin that separates them from God. That takes some understanding. That can be somewhat abstract. And we know that young children are generally very concrete in the way that they think. So to say something along the lines of, have you let Jesus into your heart, to a concrete thinker, that doesn't play out.
Yeah, how do I open the little door?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. But so they need to be able to understand that concept of sin. And then I've often told parents and children's ministry leaders that there's not one gospel for kids and another one for adults. It is the gospel, but yet the Bible is very clear that you come as a child. So if you come as a child, then obviously children can come. Yeah. And so, but the gospel that God, you know, the basic concepts of the gospel, that God sent Jesus, that Jesus lived a perfect sinless life, and yet he died on a cross according to God's plan. He rose from the dead, and then the Holy Spirit calls us to him. There's that factor. So if you get those basic concepts and recognize and understand who children are at different ages of development, mentally and emotionally, then you recognize that a very young child is a unique thing. Hmm. It's not God can save anybody he wants to save.
Yes.
I've heard of great men that I respect, and I am confident that they're Christian, who have testimonies of 4 years old and 5 years old. That's unique, though.
Yes.
So if a 5-year old comes to my office or to want to talk to me about counseling or becoming a Christian, I approach it completely different than if a 5th grader comes to me, because I understand their mental and emotional and development, and even their spiritual development at some level. So I understand that, and I approach it differently. So age of accountability is an interesting topic. It's probably a whole nother podcast at some point, but just recognizing that there are stages that I feel like a child moves through in their journey toward God.
So as we talk about the way kids learn at age levels, I can't help but think of the levels of biblical learning, which is a scholarly framework for ministry that
and
LifeWay
one of those
has
concepts
together.
Is salvation.
Yes.
And so it doesn't start in first grade. It starts in the younger preschool, babies ones and older twos.
So for those who are not familiar with the levels of biblical learning, it talks about the way kids learn at 6 different distinct age levels, and 10 different biblical principles that we want to communicate in age-appropriate ways,
right.
One of those being salvation.
Right.
You can find, listeners, if you're interested in this document, a free download, a PDF, as well as an interactive webpage at lifeway.com/levels of biblical learning, and Andy will make sure to include that in the show notes for this episode, so you have a link that's easy to click on. We have provided a collection of training videos that you can download for free to go deeper with your team and for your own edification on how kids learn at different ages and about how we can talk about these biblical principles like this one in the right way at the right time.
Right.
Good. Now, you were talking, Bill, about four different stages as we began to talk.
I've identified four stages of a child's journey. The first one I would call the discovery stage. Hmm. And, you know, that's the younger child or maybe the child who's just now being exposed to the gospel, but they're asking lots of questions. And we know 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, they ask lots of questions naturally. So they begin to ask a lot of questions about God and about Jesus and about heaven and just lots and lots of questions.
I think that's interesting to talk in stages instead of ages.
Well, you can put some age. I used to put age brackets on it, but I've tried to quit doing that because there's no real age brackets.
But for someone who's new to the church, even mm-hmm. as a fifth grader, even as an adult, they may come early on in their as they rub up against believers in a phase of
lots of questions,
discovery, lots of questions,
and they may move through that a lot quicker than a 5-year-old would.
Yes,
but they still have lots of questions. I call this the downloading stage. They're downloading information. I'm not very techno-savvy in any way, but I do know that I can't run a program on my computer if I haven't downloaded that program onto my computer.
Right.
I can't run an app if I haven't downloaded that app to my phone.
Right.
So they're downloading information, but I'm often real intentional, particularly with parents. Just because they're curious doesn't mean they're under conviction.
Mm.
And a lot of parents, the kid will start asking about baptism, or they'll start asking about the Lord's Supper, or they'll start asking questions, and the parent gets really anxious and runs to the pastor's office and says, you need to talk to him about becoming a Christian. And they're just wanting information. They're just downloading information. They're just curious, naturally so.
And so there is a difference between learning and understanding and actually discerning what to do with
which is the second stage.
Okay.
And I call that the discerning stage. And it's that time when a child begins to be concerned about spiritual things. They've downloaded this information and now they're processing it. Mm-hmm. So again, that's as technical as I get, but they've downloaded and now they're processing this information and they're becoming concerned themselves and they're beginning to ask a lot of questions and they're beginning to understand that their sin is against God, and that's what separates them from God. They're beginning to mentally have the ability to understand those concepts a little bit better, and they start learning and asking. I think sometimes it has to do with how we treat kids in our families. I remember when I was a preschooler, my great aunt and uncle passed away really close to each other, and I remember being included differently in that process than when I was 10 years old when my grandfather passed away, and I was taken with my family to the funeral home, and I was participated in the funeral. And so naturally there became a lot more questions that were a lot more real, and I was beginning to discern that granddaddy hadn't just gone to heaven like my great aunt and great uncle. I guess they just left, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw him there, and then I started having questions, which led to spiritual conversations with my parents.
So the
discerning stage.
So in the discerning stage, it would sound like what you're saying is that's a time where after there's some of that head knowledge, that there begins to be some more of the conviction or where God is working mm-hmm. using that knowledge in the heart.
Right. And you don't have to stay in this any of these stages for any length of time. You may move rapidly through. But, you know, by the time I'm in third or fourth grade, these things become real real.
Yes.
They become real real, very
it's,
real.
It's very interesting to me to use these, and we're going to get to the next mm-hmm. two D stages. But it's interesting to me because as I think about the kids that are at my church and my ministry, I can think, oh, yeah, that he's in a discovery stage.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking questions. He's doing that. Oh, I can see that she is more discerning.
Right.
So that's interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to apply this to the kids that I know.
Exactly. And then the deciding stage.
Okay.
You know, an opportunity where that child really is becoming convicted of their sinfulness and a need for a Savior. They're beginning to understand and are willing to make God Lord of their life. Again, helping kids understand what that means.
Yes.
What does it mean to make God Lord of your life? And it's to me, it's very simple. Boss. He tells you what to do, you do it.
Yeah.
He's the boss of your life. And that, again, requires some maturity.
Yes.
in these different areas of mental and spiritual and emotional development. And I think that this is this deciding stage is when they realize it's time to make a decision. Mm-hmm. For me, I was 10 years old when I made a decision, and it was very, very real to me that I needed to do something, not because I didn't have the information prior. I had the information prior, but it was that night that the Holy Spirit really convicted me of my sinfulness, convicted me of my separation from God, and then convicted me of my need for a Savior. So the deciding stage.
And so there's a little bit of, from part of my testimony, is even making the decision in a couple of stages. So, for instance, mm-hmm. there's the understanding for a need for a Savior came before my understanding that I needed to yield my life to Him as Lord.
Right.
So the Savior-Lord parody.
Yeah, I know. And we could probably get into some interesting conversations with different friends about lordship. I think lordship is a process.
Yeah. Well, let him be the boss, right?
And when I was 10, there was a whole list of things that he needed to be boss of. By the time I was 16, the list had changed.
That's right.
And this morning, the list was different again.
Yes.
And so it's every day. It's a process. But I think as much as a child can, they need to allow Him to be the Lord of their life.
So they have discovery. They go through some discerning. They come to the deciding.
Right.
And then?
I used to end there.
Yeah.
Really, not all that long ago. I've been here at Lifeway for 15 years, and part of that maturing in my life has been our lack of discipling kids past the point of conversion.
And that's the fourth D.
That's the fourth D. I'm so convicted and convinced of that. And you know, they talk about if you go back and do all over again, before I was here, I was in two different churches in Atlanta for 14 years as a children's minister. If I could go back and do it all over again, this fourth D would lead the charge in my ministry, because I am convinced that we, as evangelicals, we do a good job of seeing people come to a point of conversion, but I don't know that we've always done a good job of taking them past that point.
Yeah.
And I remember watching middle school kids and even high school kids and sometimes college kids who had been in my ministry make professions of faith again, and I wondered what was going on. And I think it was we got them through the baptistry, and we got them to making a public profession of faith, and through and had them baptized. But I don't know that I did a good job as a children's minister discipling them past the point of conversion to a lifelong growing relationship with God. So all of a sudden they've got all these new things they're fighting in the 10th grade, and they give in to them, and they think, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have done that. Well, perhaps if they had been a growing Christian, if they had been a discipled Christian, had they been a maturer Christian, they wouldn't have done those things. And I think that if Satan can't have your soul, he wants your joy. And there's nothing more frustrating and miserable than doubting your salvation. And so we deal with that, and we nail it down or whatever it is that. So that's fine, but I think where I miss the mark, and where I want to encourage children's ministry leaders today to not, and parents to not miss the mark, is to disciple those kids. And I think the first place you start there, well, we start at birth at some level, but new Christian class, you know, what are you doing to really help them to know that this decision was made and make it life-changing, memorable? What are you doing to help them to really make this a milestone opportunity to begin discipleship? And so a new Christian class, some form of ongoing plan to continue building on the child's foundation. I tell people, With every blessing comes responsibility. Mm. And I can't think of a greater blessing than to see boys and girls come to know Christ in your ministry, in your kids' ministry. But with that blessing comes responsibility. And we've got to take on that responsibility and disciple boys and girls in spiritual habits, spiritual practices, or spiritual disciplines, if you will. They need to know how to pray. They need to know how to have time with God, meditate on Him and meditate on Scripture and study Scripture. They need to learn and know how to worship, you know, not just what makes me feel good in this service, but how do I worship God? And then service, I think, is so important. All of those discipling things are things that we need to make sure are part of our ministries.
Yeah, and when we set our eyes as the goal is conversion, mm-hmm. or the goal is that decision, we could miss this.
Right.
And it's so key.
And I think that is, and don't hear me wrong, that is the goal. Yeah. You know, we want to see boys and girls come to know Christ and spend an eternity. But it doesn't stop there, and I think that
because we want to make disciples who make disciples.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that it's and as you said, it's a continual process. I mean, there's things today that I'm learning that as an adult that there's new things all the time mm-hmm. that the Lord brings. You also mentioned that a new Christian class,
right?
And so we have a resource that I want to mention here called "I'm a Christian Now."
Yes,
and so
excellent resource. I think it's 8 weeks now. It develops ongoing, but 8 different sessions that you can take, or you can just do 4, or you can put them. I know people who take that curriculum and put it all into one Sunday afternoon, but some place to start. There's also 2 activity books that go with that.
For younger kids
and older kids. Those activity pages can be used apart from the resource. So you could just use those activity pages. There's even a parent piece that goes with it, or a parent page in there, so parents could do that with their kids. If you don't have the ability, or you have one kid a year, if it's a small church, you may not have a class of new Christian kids, but you can send this home with parents and start that process of what's next.
And it's something you can do with 1 or 2 kids, or with an individual, mm-hmm. or with a larger group. It's 8 sessions, separate activity books for younger and older kids. I'm a Christian Now, and again, we'll put a link in the show notes for this episode if you'd like to click on that. So much of that discipleship depends on starting right away. You know, so it's what do you do immediately after that decision
right.
to begin discipling, not just to let years go by and then circle back and say, oh, I guess we should do this, right? It's creating those habits right away of how to walk with the Lord once you've met Him.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about it. I'm sure I've got a book in me somewhere about this, because God is continuing to fan that flame of passion for discipling boys and girls in the spiritual disciplines.
Well, I'm sure you do have a book in you. I know you're working on one now. That's a team effort. But I also know that you have more than one blog in you. It's more than one blog post. Bill is one of our regular writers on the Kids Ministry 101 blog, which you can find at kidsministry101.com. And he's written a 2-part series on this topic that we're discussing today, When Can a Child Believe? Part 1 and Part 2. And there you will find information on the different D's we've discussed about the stages and easily shareable blog format. So we'd invite you to check that out as well, with a link in the show notes. Bill Emiot, thank you as always for your time and for your insight.
It's a privilege. Thank you.
We are honored to have you. Listener, thank you for listening. Join us again next time on the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.